For me, fashion is a verb. So it's to fashion.
You're listening to Wardrobe Crisis with Claire Press. Join me every week as we look at sustainability, ethics, and the business and madness of fashion. Hello, I've missed you. Now, if you've been waiting patiently for part two of series five's finale, when we pass the mic to listeners, thank you. If you've been waiting impatiently, then sorry. I had a bit of a break. That sounds like I was sitting in a hammock drinking pina coladas. That is not what I was doing. I've been really, really busy. I've been trying to juggle 1 million things at once, which if you run your own business or design your own kind of projects, you'll know what that feels like. And just sometimes it just piles up, right? And you're like, oh my God, I'm not going to get through the other side. So I've been on that little ride, but finally I'm done. And I will share with you in a moment what we've been working on. Now, the podcast. If you listened to the last episode, you'll know that we interviewed three listeners about all things vintage and thrifted. And the part two finale is about design solutions to fashion sustainability problems. And again, the guests are our listeners, and they wrote to us saying that they'd like to share their stories. Now, actually, with these, I've decided not to sandwich them together because they do stand alone as separate episodes. So the first one is with the brilliant and very original Icelandic designer Ir Johannesdottir. Her approach to upcycling is unique. It's also hysterical. She makes these really funny jumpers that are covered in like lolling tongues and teeth and big eyes, or have hot dogs on them smothered in sauce. She'll tell you all about that. But there's a serious message underneath the hilarity. Ir is a deep thinker who uses her work to challenge the fashion system in really creative ways. She's our first ever podcast guest from Reykjavik, and she's fantastic. I think you're going to really enjoy listening to Ir. But before we get into it, do you want to know what I've been doing that's made me so busy? Oh, I'm so excited to tell you. Dear listeners, you are the first to know. We haven't announced it yet, or I'm announcing it now, I guess. But Wardrobe Crisis Academy launches in May. This is our brand new, shiny, fabulous, fascinating, engaging, inspiring online sustainability school. If you're listening to this, I'm guessing you care about sustainability. Sharing knowledge about this area and trying to influence change is what we do with this podcast and these interviews, with our articles, and I do it with my talks and books and workshops with brands. So online courses felt like a logical extension of that. But it's also like this big passion point for me because I really think that there's nothing else out there. I think that if you're trying to up-level your sustainability education, you either have to go down the route where you spend a bazillion dollars, and there are these fancy professional development courses out there that cost hundreds, if not thousands of bucks or pounds, and that's great if you can afford it. Or if you've got time and it's your whole life, you could go to university or to do a degree or be a full-time student. Or I guess if you're a fashion student, there are also some excellent open source MOOCs out there that are kind of targeted towards design. But what about everyone else? I just kept thinking, like, there's nothing out there. If you really want to upskill yourself, like I said, on sustainability, and you don't fall into those categories, rich, a full-time student or a designer, then the onus has been on you. Like, you've got to go and do all the research yourself. You've got to like spend a million hours on Google and Instagram wondering who to follow and who's a trusted source. And I don't know, like, it's just a lot. And I don't think there's anything out there that has really held the hand of the person who wants to be guided with a curated framework to help them study and learn in a dynamic, not boring way that costs a pizza and a bottle of wine or the equivalent of. And that, my friends, is what we've built. Oh my God, I'm so excited. I didn't write any of that down. That was just my brain dump. So anyway, that is Wardrobe Crisis Academy. It's coming to the rescue. It's big. I'm not coping with how excited I am. And what else? I'm going to come back, actually. In the middle of this interview, we'll have an interval where I'll share a bit more about what the Academy is going to do, what the first course will be, when it will launch, and why you should join us. But now, let's get to the podcast.
Ir Johannesdottir.
Ir Johannesdottir.
Mm-hmm.
Shall I try harder? One more time.
Ir Johannesdottir.
Ir Johannesdottir.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're a textile designer and artist from Iceland working under the name, you just say it, your label's called?
I call it Irurari. It is not supposed to be easy to say. So,
Ir, welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy we're doing this. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Now, you're joining us from Reykjavik. And before we pressed record, you said to me, if I have to go, it's because...
we have earthquakes now. Yeah. It's a bit crazy situation. And we're kind of just waiting for a volcano to erupt that is quite close to Reykjavik. But it's not dangerous. It's not going to float over any houses or anything.
Wow. But is this a common thing?
Not really. Like, the earth has been like shaking since last Wednesday for like almost a week. We had like a big earthquake then, and then we have had like thousands of earthquakes every day, but tiny ones and then like some big ones. So we're all a bit like seasick here now.
Is it frightening?
When the big ones come, it can be a bit frightening, yeah. At least, like, we got kind of rid of COVID now. We are kind of COVID safe because we're an island. But now we have the earthquakes instead, so.
I came across you via Instagram, and I've just been obsessed with your work since I saw your first posts. It's very charismatic, your work. You describe it online as fragments of humour, body movements, and the everyday meet in wool-based, often wearable objects. We're going to unpack that. It's not always wearable. Your work's been in Vogue. It's been collected by international museums and worn by the likes of Erykah Badu and Noel Fielding, which makes a lot of sense to me. If people don't know who Noel Fielding is, we will share a picture of him in your jumper.
Well, I didn't get a picture of him in the jumper. He didn't actually wear it for the occasion he was supposed to. So... maybe I shouldn't have that written. Yeah, maybe I should take that out.
I feel like he is your ideal customer in terms of he can handle the humor and the eccentricity. I want to go back to this quote, fragments of humor, body movements, and the everyday meet in wool-based, often wearable objects. There's a lot in there. So tell us about your label, what you create, and can you unpack that sentence for us?
Yeah, like... for the past years, I have been like taking used sweaters and use them in my work. Like, to start with, it wasn't necessarily an idea of like being environmental in a way. It was more like I was making sweaters from scratch and I was decorating them and changing like something that took like a while for me to make from scratch. So then I realized I could just take old sweaters and actually use them because I still work so much in my hands. So it's still really time consuming. So the everyday is also such a fun thing because I'm taking like these old woolen jumpers that like no one wanted kind of because they're in the Red Cross or like in a secondhand store. And like I changed their like kind of like idea, make them more exciting and fun, and like their value like increases kind of with just changing them. So that's kind of what I've been experimenting with for the past years, is just like looking at these old sweaters, thinking a bit about where they came from, and like then change them into my own.
So the everyday is because they're commonplace, they're discarded, they're just old jumpers, old sweaters, old knitwear that you find in secondhand shops, in charity shops.
Yeah.
Ooh, that makes sense to me. Let's talk about the humour, and remember that we can hear you but we can't see your work. Describe.
Yeah. I kind of like read the sweater a bit and like figure out what I want to do with it, like, can I take up the loops in it? Like, how is it stitched together and stuff like that? And like, how long is it? And yeah, what are the colors? Is the cable knit sweater and everything? And then I changed it into kind of my own sweaters. And like, one of the sweaters that got super popular, it has like tongues sticking out of it. It was like a white cable knit sweater that I made, and then I just decided to make actually the pattern for that one because people were like, oh, I need this, they needed that sweater.
But hang on, visually your work often has exaggerated lips, teeth, tongues, mouths, and more. Yeah. Knitted into
the old sweaters. Yeah. And then it can also be like eyes and mouths, or like it changes on like how you move. So if you have like if you like move your hands, like the eyes move, or like it gets sad or happy if you like wave your hands, and it's like playing around with like the also, yeah, like I said in that sentence, like the movements of the body in a way too. So like, yeah, also just having like those normal, like waving someone, I don't know, maybe that's not the most normal thing to do, but then it changes.
Is it completely fair to say it's mad and it's bananas? I mean, it is very... what's the word? I don't know. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, but that's also like how you make people like interested too. Like, it's like making weird things and fun things.
But also, it's just very funny. And this is something that you and I talked about before we pressed record, that you're making this work, which is really visually humorous and really fun and really inviting. And you just want to get involved. It makes everybody smile. But actually, mm-hmm. you're talking about hard stuff, or you're raising big issues behind what you do. Tell us a bit more about reuse and the drive to use upcycled materials and waste materials. You said in your introduction that you're using sweaters from the Red Cross.
Yeah, so in Iceland, the Red Cross deals with the textile they throw away. So they have like stores, like the Goodwill stores are in the US. And they asked me for a collaboration for last year's Design March. It's like a design festival that we have here in Reykjavik. And they would like want to collaborate. So I got like sweaters from them that they can't sell, because we, like every other Western nation, we throw away a lot of textiles. So they can't even sell all of it. They can't even go through all of it. But they took away like the sweaters they can't sell. They have like stains on it or holes, or are just like too used to sell, because of course they just take the best sweaters and put them in the stores. So I got like those like big blue IKEA bags of sweaters that I had to like clean and go through, and they had some like funny like stains on them. The hot dog became a theme for that special show. And on Design March, that ended up being in June because of COVID, I got my friend Snæfríður, who is like a stage performance designer, like maker. And we like designed this kind of like prevention fashion show, we called it. So we had like a group of people, mostly actors or actor students, dressed in the sweaters that I had made. And they all had like hot dogs holding them, and they were like showing different ways of holding them so you would not spill on yourself. And then like after like a walk through like downtown and into like the showroom, they had like a dance, like showing how you can hold the hot dogs. And then at the end of the show, the last model comes in like completely white sweater that had some stains on it actually. And we had like put up like a sauce stand, or like a where you can put everything on the hot dog. And he comes to the stand, starts getting a little bit of sauce on his hot dog, and then he starts to like put a bit of sauce on his sleeve, and then he ends up just putting sauce on all of himself, and like, and all the people wearing sweaters just like run away, because this, all the sweaters know this story. They know what's gonna happen, and it's what happened in their previous lives.
You just, there's a bit you just said there that I want to talk about, which I loved a lot. The sweaters know what's going to happen to them because they know their previous story.
Yeah, they all been there. So that was like the idea of the show, was to just like, it was like an easy, like fun way to show people like, yeah, this can happen. But it's also like, yeah, of course, accidents will always happen, even though we hate fast fashion and everything about it. Like, of course, everyone is going to spill sauce on themselves at some point.
But you are anthropomorphizing those jumpers. You're giving them personalities. You're saying they remember, they know, they feel.
Yeah. And that's kind of like also what I'm keeping on working with this project now. Like, I'm studying art education at the art school here, because like my studies have, or like my practice has like moved into that direction, because I don't want to like mass produce stuff. I want to get people involved and actually think about like how to make the things last. Now I have like an open studio at the Design Museum in Garðabær, close to Reykjavík. And there, because I still have been getting so many sweaters from the Red Cross, I can't like fix all of them myself. I just have two hands. So I am like getting people more involved. They can come in and like, I don't know if it's right to say adopt, because it's just sweaters, but still you can like take a sweater. If you promise that like it fits you, you're going to use it, you're going to mend it, and you're going to take care of it. If it like fits with the clothes in your closet, you kind of have to like make an agreement with me, and then you can take the sweater. And yeah, make it stay alive. And then I have like workshops, and people have been doing like really fun things with the sweaters.
Welcome to Wardrobe Crisis Academy. I'm Claire Press. I'm the founder and one of the course leaders. Are you curious about sustainability in fashion? Do you want to learn more about the issues that you care about? Is there stuff you find confusing about this topic? Or do you want to make your business more sustainable, but you can't afford a fancy consultant? Or maybe you want to upskill so that you can influence change in a bigger organization. Maybe you just have that feeling that you know you could be a leader in this space and you just want more information and more support. Wardrobe Crisis Academy is for you. There's something for everyone wherever you sit in the fashion ecosystem, whether you're in the business or want to be or are just someone who loves clothes. In these courses, we want to help you find your way into making fashion more sustainable. Or if you already have, we want to supercharge it, really hone in on what's driving you to make sustainable change and to help you employ it as effectively as possible in your work and life. To get ahead, you need to be armed with the facts and as much knowledge as possible about the big issues and how they intersect. But you also need to understand the challenges and the opportunities. And that's what we're here for. We've designed these courses to be rich with information that goes in and stays in, but also really inspiring and get you participating, because that's where the change happens. We're launching our school in May. It's online and everyone's welcome. It won't break the bank. That is like one of the big, big things about this. You can buy a course for the cost of dinner. And you'll also be able to subscribe and access a whole bunch of them. Sustainable Fashion 101 is our introductory course, designed to give you a foundational knowledge of the issues driving sustainable and ethical fashion now, and to empower you to start taking more action. It's structured over 6 weeks, and it's delivered in partnership with Arch & Hook, the world's number one sustainable hanger brand, as well as the Australian Fashion Council. But it's global, so anywhere around the world, you can access these courses and learn with us together. There's a lot more to come, and I invite you to join us. To be first, go to thewardrobecrisis.com for more details.
So why do you do what you do? It's very clear that you're not just making stuff for the sake of selling it, but you're actually using fashion to have big conversations, but you're also asking the wearer or the customer or the community to interact with the piece and then potentially make change. Like you talk about having a prevention show. I love it. There's a lot to it. How would you describe your purpose? Why do you do what you do?
I don't know. Like, of course, I started with just like, I learned to knit when I was 9. We learned to knit in school here in Iceland. We have textile classes at in the children's school. Like you learn to knit when you're 9. So then I learned to knit and I got like a bit obsessed with it. I was like reading and knitting and I was just like constantly knitting when I was a kid. And then I like started again 9 or 8 years ago. So it has always been like a thing that I connect really well with and it calms me down. It has been a bit more stressful for the past year since I made it like my job to knit. So like the idea of it has changed a bit. But yeah, the thing like, yeah, I do it not because I want to sell stuff. I have tried selling stuff. Like after I graduated, I made like some like scarf line and then you just like what you're doing then is just like you have to like advertise it really well. You have to like go to so many stores and like try to get the money out of them and they sell your stuff and like all those bills and stuff, and I hate it. So that's like, I am not like a business person. I don't really like business. So I think that's where it has led me today is like more like have a conversation with the community and like get people more active because also I don't feel the urge to make new things necessarily because we have more than enough. Like Icelanders, I was reading that every Icelander throws away like 20 kilos of textile and shoes every year.
Wow, do they? Australia, it's 23, and in North America, it's 28. And those stats date from a little while ago. They're quite old. But I'm surprised, actually, that you would say Iceland is up there.
Yeah, because, like, Icelanders are always, like, very proud. Like, we are so unique. It's just 350,000 of us. We are, like, so small nation, and, like we brag a lot about our nature and, like, how artistic and down-to-earth we are. But, of course, it's not like that. It's still like, 20 kilos is way too much. Their goal is to have it 10, but it's still just going up.
Whose goal?
I don't know how to say it in English. It's like the environmental, the government.
How interesting. I wanted to ask you more about Iceland. You're our first Icelandic podcast guest. We have had lots of Nordic guests from Sweden, from Denmark, from Finland, but we've never had an Icelandic guest. Tell me a bit more about the sustainability culture there. So population-wise, a very small country. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you, as a cultural thing, take pride in looking after nature, being sustainable, maybe. I don't know. Tell me a bit more about that, and also particularly with fashion.
Yeah, so, like, of course, we are so small, we can't provide all the things on our own. Like, we mostly just have fish here and tourism. That's, like, what are the main, like, things people live on here. So, of course, we, like, have to get things sent in. And, like, shopping online is, like, a really popular thing to do here. And, of course, it has to travel a long way to get here. So, yeah, we don't have much. Like, we have the wool from the sheep here. And we have, like, two knitting factories left. But, like, yeah, but, like, they are struggling because of, like, the China market. Even, like, the Lopapesa, which is, like, a traditional Icelandic, like, wool sweaters, they sent the wool now to China, and it's just knitted in machines there and sent back.
Can I ask you, this is so interesting, right, because you mentioned before that everybody in Iceland learns to knit at school, and it's part of the education system.
Yeah.
Is there then this rich history of wool and knitting and crafting?
Yeah, it is, because, of course, it's like a really cold island, and it's kind of like incredible that there are people like living here.
How cold are we talking?
It's just very, it's more like bad weather. It's like windy, snowy, like you can't get stuck in places. And it's not necessarily as cold as it sounds, but it is like bad weather. It's very like a windy island. So, yeah, like, of course, wool became a really important thing in our history because we had to keep warm. So the crafting history here is like, has a lot in it, and it's all about, like, yeah, staying warm. And, like, of course, everyone lived on the fish, so there were a lot of fishermen, and they needed the warmth. And so we have, like, a history of, like, wool. But it's kind of, yeah, been difficult now because the wool isn't selling that well, and the farmers are more thinking about the meat. So, like, the sheep have turned into, like, not wool sheep. So it's like all a bit sad how it has evolved, but I feel like there is more conversation going on now about the shopping or like buying stuff made in Iceland and making things work out here, because we also have all the warm water. That's also the thing that people are talking about. It's also like growing more vegetables here, not just the meat, because we can. There's a lot of like opportunities here. And they're also talking about hemp, growing hemp, I think. Wow. It's in English. Yeah.
Yeah, hemp.
Yeah, hemp, yeah. So that's something that people are evolving here now, and yeah.
I'd love to know more about the fashion scene there and also about your fashion education.
So, of course, people, at least in my designer-artist bubble, are, like, very, can dress really creative. But I think, like, most of my friends, like, are buying secondhand more and more. And then, like, of course, we have, like, you can study fashion here. It's not, like, a big thing to do, and there is like a fashion scene. A lot of the fashion designers actually are now more like using the wool and trying to figure out ways to make the wool valuable again, and they're like, yeah, trying to start making things more here. But of course, all the cotton and everything has to come from abroad, and there are not like that many designers working with used textiles like I am. There is like one that's called After, and it's like an old label, and that like kind of also inspired me on my journey. They have like had a store in Laugavegur on the main street since I was like a teenager. So they always used like old textiles and cut them out and just make new like shapes and silhouettes with it. And it's really a really nice label. So I think they are like the main people that actually do it. But I'm also happy to see like the wool is getting back in. Like the people are trying to figure out ways to make the wool valuable again. They made just like, they actually made an Icelandic tweed last year.
How interesting. I want to see it.
Yeah.
I mean, I love, again, I wish we could make this podcast last for 3 hours because there's so many things I want to ask you. But I love the idea of reshoring and localism and being resourceful with what you already have. I think they're kind of global trends that we're seeing, that people want to tap into the history of their textile culture more. They want to bring back things that are in danger of being lost, all of that. But I'd love to end on asking you about where you see the future of this.
So, like, I have been seeing changes, like, now in on the main street because of COVID, like, all the tourist shops closed and, like, they had, like, Super Dry or something that closed too. And there are new things happening instead. Like, there are more Red Cross stores opening up and they have a tool library now, like, where you can rent tools instead of just buying all the things you need to Runnewed Things.
Fantastic.
Mm. And they have like two new stores where you can like sell your used clothes and get the money yourself. Like that's a new thing here to do. So like there are like new things like that happening.
Are they sort of moving into the spaces that have been left empty because businesses have moved out from COVID? Wow.
Yeah. And like my dream is like after my graduation, I'm hoping the city owns some space there that I could start more like of the mending like workshops, because I've been doing mending workshops now and it's so fun. People are so interested in it and love it, like fixing those stains and holes in a fun way. And it's like such a fun space to be in when people are kind of just making their clothes more fun and interesting and spending time on like together and working on it. So like the future I want is to use all of those empty spaces and like making the textiles last somehow, like making this circular thing happen that people are always talking about but never seems to be happening. But it, like, and also it can be fun. It doesn't have to be boring at all, like spending time together and fixing things and learning new skills and trying out what you can do with your things.
You know what I haven't asked you and I do want to talk more about, which is the humor and is the color, the colorfulness of what you do and how exuberant it is. Often in sustainability, and I've struggled with this a bit, the aesthetic is minimal. So it's always beige and the capsule wardrobe of the simple white shirt and the beige color scheme. And I'm not like that. I like frills and ruffles and silly things. And I think there's something about sustainability that pushes people towards a minimal aesthetic that seems to speak of restraint. You don't do that at all. You're the opposite. No.
Like, I understand going there because, of course, you can't get tired of those strange things maybe sooner.
You think? So it's about longevity, like it's soothing. Yeah. I would think
you want the basic black pants because you can use them, like they fit with everything or something. But still, like, it doesn't mean everything has to be like black pants and turtleneck. You can also like dress that up with something more fun. So like, I'm not saying you have to like put tongues and eyes on every clothes that you have. You can just do it to some special clothes that you want to use once in a while. And then also like characters are different. Like, I don't like to use my clothes like every day because people like shout at you and are like, nice sweater. Of course, sometimes you want to be like invisible and then you don't want to wear like crazy stuff. But people are different. Some people love to wear like colorful things and strange and want to be noticed. So of course, like the solution has to like suit everyone. Like, so also the conversation about like sustainable clothes being in all the sizes of people, but it also has to be like in all of the styles that people like too.
I want to ask you one more question about the fashion future that you'd like to see. You described such a lovely idea of it being workshop based and mending, and you talked all about the wearer actually rather than the maker. Mm-hmm. What sorts of pieces do you want to continue to make, and where do you see your future? You said you didn't feel like business was your thing. You got a label. Where do you want to take it?
Yeah, it's a good question. Like, I think I want to do more like small projects, but I will get more people involved. Like, now the project I'm working on for next design awards, which is in May, I got some sweaters from the Red Cross and I've given them to my friends of mine that are like writing short stories about like the previous life of the sweater and like where, how it ended up there. Like, my friend got this like Icelandic like design sweater and it's like all covered in holes and it's like smells like horses. So he's just kind of like investigating like what could be the pre-story of the person that owned it, like how did it end up there? So, and then I work from that story and like use that as inspiration on how I am going to mend and change the sweater into my design. And I also got like a girl that do like comics and she's going to make like a comic about this lady that woke up in this sweater. And like, I am going to like also use that as inspiration. So I think like that's also the thing, like to get more mediums also involved. Like, I'm also in a performance group and we are going to do like a theater piece about wool too. So we already did a show about potatoes. So now we're going to go into the textile. So
I think that
we did a theater performance about potatoes. We actually got like nominated for the Icelandic Theater Awards for it. So yeah, I'm also like in a performance group because I think that's also the thing, like it's taking other mediums in and making like writers and movie people like all interested in the subject, because it's also like the sweaters also have interesting stories. I'm also investigating my mom's sweater that I used as a teenager. It's like an Icelandic wool sweater knitted in old Yugoslavia. like hand knitted by this, like it's a super interesting story. And I think that's also like how to make people think and get people involved. It's just like, yeah, think about all these stories and all the like we have so much material there to work with. Like we don't need anything new, I think.
Thank you for listening to Wardrobe Crisis. You can find the show notes for each episode and read our magazine over on our website, www.thewardrobecrisis.com. And that's where you can also sign up for our free sustainable fashion newsletters. I hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd love you to help us spread the word. Tell a friend, share on social media, or leave us a rating and review in Apple Podcasts. It really helps new listeners find us on the app. You can get in touch with us on social media. The show is on Instagram at The Wardrobe Crisis, and I'm on there too, and on Twitter. I'm at Mrs. Press. Finally, if you'd like to support us financially, look for Wardrobe Crisis on Patreon. There's also a link in our Instagram. But for what you'd spend on a magazine each month, you can be part of the Wardrobe Crisis Patreon community, and you'll get exclusive podcast content, articles, and special access.
Because I love you. Because I love you.